Pastor Terry Sisney. Welcome to Overcomers Broadcast. I'm so glad to be with you again today. I want to welcome you in. And we're going to share with you today just a thought about the presence of God leading us to the power of God. This is a tremendous text in the scriptures from the book of Psalms, chapter 63. I love it. I love the book of Psalms. I do a lot of reading in the book of Psalms. I go back and forth between Psalms and Proverbs. It's very powerful. So in the book of Psalms, chapter 63, verses 1 and 2, David said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. Then he said, in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. This is very powerful, and I really love this scripture. This scripture says, it starts out saying, O God. David is acknowledging the sovereign God, the majestic God, the glorious God, the keeper of the earth, the keeper of the universe. There is a God. There's a lot of people that will acknowledge there is a higher power. And some even recognize there's a God. But David is not content, and he does not stop there. He does not stop with just a casual acknowledgement that there is a God. He says, you're my God. Hallelujah. You're my God. It's personal. And friend, this has to be personal. This relationship with God is a personal relationship. And, you know, there's no secondhand relationship. Somebody said one time, God has no stepchildren. Well, and he has no grandchildren. It's all very, very intimate with God. We are children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. He is our Father. And that's the relationship that he has ordained and that he has established through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, according to the scriptures, is our elder brother. This is an amazing, amazing thing, this relationship business through the scripture. So David says, you're my God. It's personal. I know you as my God. I own you as my God. I own you. You own me. We have a relationship. And then he says this, early will I seek thee. I'm going to look for you. And I'm going to look for you early. Now that can have a double meaning. It can mean early in the morning. It can mean that I'm going to put you first in my day. And I'm going to make sure that my day begins with you. I'm going to start out by being in your presence. I'm going to start out by reading your word early in the morning. And it can also mean early in life. In other words, you're going to be the first that I turn to. I'm not going to come to you last. You're not going to be last in my line of what's happening here and can I make it and who's going to help me and how am I going to make it? You're going to be first. I'm coming to you first, God. Early will I seek thee. Not late, not later, not last, but early. And then he said this, my soul thirsts for you. David makes a statement that is powerful. He said, my soul thirsts for you. My soul is what makes up the real me. My intellect, my emotions, my feelings, my heart, all of these parts of me, my will, all of that makes up the real me and the real person. And he says, it is thirsting for you, which means there is a craving and there's a longing that nothing else can quench. Nothing else can satisfy. He says, in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. That's what he's saying. He says, in this world, he compares the world itself to a dry and a thirsty land where there's nothing that has the ability to quench the soul's thirst except God. And friend, that's true. That's true. I don't know if you have found that out to be true yet or not, but I'm telling you that there's nothing that can quench your soul thirst but God. You know, everyone was created with a vacuum inside of us. We were created that way because in the beginning, man had a relationship with God. And through Adam's transgression and disobedience in the garden, he plunged man into darkness. His action, representative of the whole human race, plunged man into a darkness of separation from God. So when we were born into this world, David said, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. So I came to the earth, and every human being comes to the earth with this vacuum in them, because somewhere in our great past, there was God, and now we're without God. And so there's a sense, there's a emptiness in us that only God can fill. And so he says, you're the one that satisfies and quenches my thirst. And maybe you haven't come to that yet, but remember the woman at the well, when Jesus stopped at the well, and she said, sir, give me this water that I won't have to come here and drink anymore. You know, Jesus had made the living water sound so real to her that she thought it was going to be a replacement for natural water. Well, you know, it's not a replacement for natural water. I still need water. You still need water. But it's a replacement. Well, I shouldn't say replacement. It is the very thing that is being replaced by all of the pursuits in life. In other words, we try to satisfy that desire in our hearts by sex, by drugs, by alcohol, by promiscuity, by drinking, by running around, by carousing, by all this kind of different things. You try to satisfy, try to fill that hole, that emptiness, that vacuum, and it will never satisfy. Somebody wrote a song many years ago, very powerful song, says, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And friend, I'm telling you, it's true today. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only he can make you whole. He's the only one. And then the song goes on and said, he'll give you peace you never knew, real love and joy, and heaven too. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. So David said, I seek for you. That's talking about the presence of God. I seek for your presence. There's another scripture that says, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there's pleasures forevermore. God brings joy. He brings peace. He brings fulfillment. He brings completion into my life. I find my strength. I find my peace. I find my joy. I find my completeness. I find my fulfillment in him and in his presence. The presence of God brings peace. The presence of God brings joy. The presence of God is the pathway into the power of God. Notice what David says after he talks about his presence, talks about wanting to be in his presence, the desire for God himself, to seek him out. Then he says, to see your power in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory in the sanctuary as I've seen you in past. I want to see your power. See, the presence of God is the pathway into the power of God. If you want to experience God's power, it will come by being in his presence. As you spend time in his presence, it will lead you just naturally, without struggle, without effort, without any hardship on yourself. It will just lead you into his power. The presence of God is the pathway to the power of God. God's not going to give his power to everyone. If you don't love his presence, he's not going to give you his power. So David said, and I'm going to read it again, and we're going to be done today. But I just wanted to share this with you. It spoke to me in such a very powerful way, and I thought that it would bless somebody today and it would encourage somebody. Oh God, he said, Psalm 63:1-2. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see your power and your glory as I have seen you in the sanctuary. Lord, I've seen you in power. Now I want to experience your power in my life and through my life. And the pathway to his power is his presence. Well, friends, God bless you. I thank you for joining us today, whether you're listening live or replay. It's a privilege to get to come to you and share with you. And I hope that you have been blessed by this today. And maybe you'll get inspired and you'll just get over here into this portion of scripture and just start reading. And you'll just get overwhelmed and get overcome by the wonderful, wonderful truth and life that's in the scriptures. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word of God is alive. The book of Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick. That word quick means alive. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word is alive. The presence of God is the pathway to the power of God. Okay, God bless you. Have a blessed day. We'll talk to you later. In Jesus' name.